We had a baby boy on Shabbos, so apologies. I might do the share a little bit shorter. Mitzvah Simchas by everybody. I will never forget the vote that my brother-in-law said. Have a very choshev, very choshev brother-in-law in Eretz Yisrael. A really, really choshev Talmid Chacham, a very Erech Yid. He told me when I had my first child. He told me that it says in the Mishnah in Ovis, Ezu Achacham Aroiz Anoilad. Who is the Mishnah Ovis tells us who is a wise person, somebody who sees Hanoilad, which normally is interpreted as who can understand what will happen in future, what the outcomes and the consequences of. And he said, and he told me that really this is of course the true understanding. But besides that, there's also the literal translation. Who is a chacham? Somebody sees a newborn baby. Hanoilad, a newborn baby. Somebody who actually sees a tiny newborn baby makes a person a chacham to see the nisim, the miracles of a newborn baby, and the ness of the healthy little baby boy being born. So that also, if somebody ponders about this and thinks about this, is also a chacham. So I think this is a very truly a nice word. Okay, I would like to continue a little bit. Maybe a little bit shorter tonight, but just for the quiz, I think it's important to learn a little bit. I'd like to see the Ramah on top of page, Simon Tov Samach Zayin Tzif Yud Beis. We learned about the Meligas Tanagolim, about the pouring of hot water to remove the feathers. To remove the feathers of a chicken. So we discussed the halacha that if there is a kernel of wheat found, then this is an issue. Even if we find it in the wastewater of the, so you've got a chicken, you pour the hot water, and you find afterwards wherever the water lands in that container, if you see a kernel there, the wastewater, you still have to remove. You still assume that the kernel was part of the chicken, was in the chicken or on the chicken, and therefore, since the hot water was poured on the chicken, and the kernel was probably there, so you're gonna forbid and ask the entire chicken for eating, because we assume that this kernel, which is evidently chometz, asks the entire chicken. Now, the Ramah continues. Some allow with melikas tanegoilim. There are some who allow it. They say, why on earth would you assume that just because you're finding a kernel of wheat, you're finding it now in the water, who says that kernel of water, that kernel of wheat was actually there beforehand? Who says? Perhaps the kernel of wheat ended up after you did the Meliga. Maybe you're just making assumptions and then you're going to ask for everything. Maybe the kernel of wheat was actually nothing to do with the chicken. You're finding it in the wastewater. All right, okay, so that's where it was. Could it be it was in the barrel before, and it could be it was in the bowl before? Could be so many possibilities. You don't have to just assume that it was on the chicken whilst you poured out water, and therefore ask the chicken. You don't have to go so far. So some amati that shema achach nafta l'sham. Perhaps the kernel was ended up in the water later on. V'yesh misha oisse b'shabos lo amati b'tana goyles. And some differentiate between chickens and chickens and other meat. They say that if it was on other meat, it's going to be also. If it was on the chickens, it's a sfeksvik, and therefore it's mutter. Now, the next line that we're going to see is one of the most, I find it an incredible mekoyim. Let's see, and you tell me if you feel what you feel about this. V'leinin minik, it's incredible, and it's an amazing chumrah, which has got a huge amount of ramifications in the world of minhogim. So, v'leinyin minig, and the minig is, continues the Rama, nire lezoi b'shabos soi b'chito shlema afilo b'tanegoyles, v'davke im nimlugu tanegoylim t'haynu shoyumayim chamim. He says that this is all, the minig is generally to forbid it, if the meliga was done with hot water. But if the meliga was done with cold water, again, the meliga is no halachic, it's not halachic need is just to get rid of the feathers. He could really do that with cold water too. So if a man actually did the megliga, he got rid of the feathers with cold water. In the cold water, you kept the chicken in the cold water to soak the chicken in there so that the feathers are removed. You're gonna be mutter. You're gonna allow it. Now, the implication of the words of the Rama is that there is room for stringency even if there was cold water. And he says that, Lemaisa, since it's a sofek, since all you know, what are the facts that you know? The facts that you know is that it was cold water. Another fact that you know was that you found the kernel post factum, you found the kernel of water in the water. The kernel of wheat in the water. So that is really a sofek. So you don't have evidence. You don't have criminal evidence, really. All it is fakers. So since it's a sofek, you can be matted. But really, what is incredibly weird and bizarre is that, what are we talking about here? We're talking about pouring of cold water. Well, cold water surely, cold water surely, if you poured cold water, there cannot be any problems with cold water. We know that when it comes to blias and when it comes to giving taste over, it cannot happen with cold water. That's the basic yisoid in Yeridea and in Hilchos Pesach too, that only if there's hot water, hot heat, can transmit taste. But if you've got cold water, nothing can really happen. Nothing sinister can happen with cold water. So the Rama is telling us, you know, if you did the whole activity of Malika with cold water and you're finding wheat in the water afterwards, you don't have to worry. Because it could be that the kernel was nothing to do with the chicken, could be lots of things, whatever. So it's fine. But hold on a sec. If it was cold water, why bothering about? What are you flapping about? this is cold water. Nothing could have happened in the first place. You don't have to worry about cold water. So what does that tell us? It tells us an incredible chumrah with astonishing nafkaminas, that there is a chumrah when it comes to Hilchos Pesach that even cold can transmit blias. That we are concerned that if you poured cold water and you did the meliga, although it was cold water, if the kernel of wheat was on the chicken, b'shas meisa, we are concerned about the cold water having transmitted the chametz of the kernel onto the chicken, although it was cold. This is a chumrah which is unprecedented and uncomparable to anywhere else. Cold water would never, ever, ever transmit issa. It can't. Generally. But here we've got a chumrah de chametz that it actually does. Now it comes the real challenge. Does anybody have a minhag? And it's not universal, but it's fairly common, but it's not universal. Does anybody have a minhag of something falling on the floor on Pesach that you don't eat it? It's not universal, but some people have. Oh, who is that? Hazm. Rabbi Yossi Feingold. Yeah. Feingold has got that minik. Very good. Thank you. So Rabbi Feingold has got a minik of something which dropped on the floor. Right. Within that, there's two minokim. Some people have a minik that if an item, like a plate, a spoon, a fork, a whatever it is, fell on the floor on Pesach, they're not going to use it the entire Pesach. They put it away, they're going to catch it, and they don't use it for the whole Pesach. That's what seems to be the minik by Mishpachas Feingold and by countless other families. That's one minik. There's another minik. Another minik of people who refrain from eating if an apple falls on the floor, and if an apple falls on the floor, you're going to peel it. You're not going to eat it without having peeled it. Anything else that can be peeled, you peel. Anything that cannot be peeled, you don't eat at all on Pesach. What's an example of something which cannot be peeled? What can't be peeled? Something that can be, what? Yeah, that's right. Well, you could really, yeah, okay, but whatever, something can, and it falls on the floor, you don't eat it, the whole Pesach. So many have questioned this minig, and many feel that it is absolute ignorance. It's absolute amaratzes, and it's a silly minig. Many have said that. Why on earth? Just because something falls on the floor, why should you assume that, where does that minig come from, and it's silly? Many have said it's silly. Lemaiseh, I only found out recently that it's not such a silly minik. It's an extreme minik, but it's not a silly minik. It's a big difference between a silly minik and extreme minik. And therefore, the nafka minik is that if we're going to find the makoy, which we're going to do in a few minutes, then it's something which people who have a genuine mesoira and a genuine tradition to have that minik, then it makes sense to upkeep it and to safeguard the minik and to keep it up. Of course, by all means, somebody who doesn't have that minik, he doesn't have to start it, because it's an extreme chumrah. But somebody who does have that minik, once there's a source, he should continue. Now, why am I saying this here? Because this makoy for this minik is Aurim over here. Why? Because we are saying that even cold can transmit Issa. Now, there is a rule that any Issa can transmit Blias immediately. It doesn't take time. So say you take a piece of meat, a boiling hot piece of meat, in boiling, bubbling milk, you put it in and you take it out, it's going to be also in a split second. In, out, it's going to be also immediately. It doesn't take time for it to get transmitted. It's like electricity. It goes in a split second. Now that's if it's hot, the example that I just mentioned now. But if we assume that Issa can get transmitted with cold as well, which we are seeing now, and that will be immediate too. So consequently, if we put one and one together, what we are seeing over here is that, again, we're saying don't pour cold water over the chicken. And if you find a kernel in the water, we're assuming that the kernel was on the chicken, and we're assuming that it may have ussed the chicken, because cold water also usses, we're seeing now and here. Well, if we are going that far and we're assuming that, then it's only one step away from ussering Rabbi Feingold's minik. If you have a fork or a spoon or whatever it may be that fell on the floor, and it's cold, admittedly it's cold, but we are seeing now that cold is also an issue. So if so, if you are, you know, if all kinds of things on the floor, and maybe there was chametz on the floor, maybe it was blias of chametz on the floor, and it fell on the floor, so you could assume that the whatever it is may have transmitted some chametz onto the fork. Now, I know it's very radical and it's very extreme because of various reasons. It's all fakers, and normally you need a bit of liquid to transmit. And I know there's plenty of, and I'm still admitting that it's an extreme chumrah. Of course it is, but it makes sense now. Before this Ramah, the chumrah made no sense because cold cannot be an issue. But now after the Ramah that we are seeing that cold can also transmit Issa, this chumrah makes sense. Similarly also, people are makbet that if an apple falls on the floor, or if a potato falls on the floor, you're going to make sure that it's peeled before you consume it on Pesach. The makor for that, the reason for that is, it's here because if even if cold can be an issue, then the fact that it fell on the floor, we can still, you know, gather perhaps it may have taken, absorbed some blias of chametz. Again, it is a very extreme chumrah, but it makes sense. Yeah.
So I thought you were saying that it's a physical impossibility for cold water to transmit blias. If that's a physical impossibility, then why is that not regarded as a silly minhag? And how can you have a minhag developing out of something which is possible?
Yeah, so the answer is that there is a minority opinion which say that on when it comes to chometz, there is bleis will transmit, because chometz is so subtle and chometz are so easily we found so many chumus with regards to bleis of chometz. So with regards to betel meshishim, with regards to sveikah, there's so many chumus. So an additional chumus also that bleis of chometz, as opposed to anywhere else in the Torah, bleis of chometz can be transferred with cold as well. Again, this is not the basic halacha, it's an extreme chumra, but to answer your question, where does that chumra come from? They hold that there is a physical possibility, as your terminology, which is correct, it is a physical possibility of transmission of chometz with cold. And again, it's not with regards to Basar B'Cholov, we won't find it regards to Yain Nesach, we won't find it anywhere else in the Torah. But we find this extreme chumra with regards to chametz on Pesach. And so therefore, to take it even further is, if something falls on the floor. So that's this. Now, let's just finish off the Ramah. If you see this chicken and you have any reason to assume that perhaps this grain that you find in the wastewater, perhaps it was something which actually went through the that actually the chicken may have eaten it and it digested it, then he says there's more reason to be lenient. Maybe it was just consumed and digested. Alright, I feel a bit maligish, then even when it comes to pouring of the water, there's reason to say sfek sfeka and lemaisa. In other words, there's so much reason to assume that it's muta, it's fakers, etc. But it just explains why some people have a chumra and are stringent. But it's not basic halacha, for sure not when it's cold, but even when it's hot, there's plenty of reason to be mati if you find it in the wastewater. What happens if you take the wastewater where you did the meliga, and you take that waste water and you mix it with other waters, and you want to drink the water now? He said, well, that's so distant, so far fetched, you could eat it, you could drink the water as well, and use the water for other things as well. You could be lenient, although it's only a little bit, and it's fine. The other thing which we've got to mention, perhaps then the best place to discuss it is tomorrow. Yeah, I'm going to leave that for tomorrow. And that's the question of the Kinneret. We know that even a minute amount of chometz is a problem. And we've learned that chometz is not bottle. We've had now a scenario of having a chitta in water. And therefore the question was as to whether water becomes osu or not. And we've seen with regards to the chicken, what the loch is, but I just want to just focus now on the actual water, the wastewater, which now can be used for something else. Say you want to use the wastewater for something else, and there was a grain of wheat found in it. Will you say bottle b'shishim? You can't say bottle b'shishim because chometz is not bottle b'shishim. If that's the case, then we have to address the shaila of all the waters in Eretz Yisrael, which emerged from the Kinneret, which is a very, very large water source in Eretz Yisrael, and it's likely there's reason to assume that birds came and dropped some wheat or some other chametz into the Kinneret reservoir. If that's the case, or you know what, it can even be somebody drinking a bottle of beer and throwing it in there. This is not very unlikely. This is something which is reason to be cautious. If that's the case, then it's not bottle b'shishim. And if that's the case, surely the entire water in Eretz Yisrael should be also, which of course cannot be the case. So tomorrow, in the next Lamar, there is going to be a discussion. Based on what we saw tonight, this would be an issue. And the question is, how can we allow and justify the drinking of the waters of the Kinneret in Eretz Yisrael? Now, right, okay, so these are the lochas for this evening. And we'll continue tomorrow evening, Be'ez Hashem.